Let's come to God's Word in Scripture. We're going to read Psalm 139 this morning. I'm going to read it from a different translation to the one that's in the chairs today, but please do follow it if you want to do that. We're on this theme, we're on week 5 now of a 7-week series on being hungry for God. And I hope that as we engage with this, that you are saying, yeah, I'm getting hungrier. So every week I'm speaking about this. We're trying some exercises together. We're encouraging you to use the notes in your own personal prayer times, encouraging you to use them at house groups and to talk about them at house groups. Because as a church, we want to discover God together. We want to get to know God. So today, our theme for week 5 is intimacy with God. So we're going to read Psalm 139. You've searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And when I awake, I am still with you. If only, God, you would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. One or two people commented on the picture we had up at the front. Is it possible to put the picture up again, please, John, of the pelicans? Somebody asked if this was meant to be me and Ruth. Not really. I think there's just something lovely about this picture and, you know, these two birds who are just absolutely close to each other, absolutely trusting each other. And as I looked at that picture, of course, you see these huge beaks. And I'm thinking to actually come close to a pelican like that does actually require quite a lot of trust that the pelican is not going to use the beak on you. If I was a fish, that beak would not be something that I wanted to get close to. But we have this lovely picture here of us coming up close to God. Actually, we're always close to God. There's never a time when we're not close. It says in that psalm that God looks at our thoughts from afar. God might hear what we are thinking, because he does, and think, don't want to be part of that. But he's always there. That's what the psalmist is telling us. No matter where he is, God is there, and he knows us closely. As a song that was popular a lot of years ago used to say, he knows me better than I know myself. So as we approach this theme of intimacy, it's not about us saying, well, God's a long way off and I have to bring him in. It's actually about us wanting to know the God who is already close beside us this morning. God will never be closer to you than he is right now. There may be days that you feel closer to God. There may be days that you get on better with God than there are today. But God will never be closer to you. The people who wrote the Psalms knew that. That's why they kept talking to him. As we saw a few weeks ago when we looked at Psalm 42, on the one hand, there is this frustration within the psalmist. There is this sense that God isn't doing anything. But he also knows that God is there, that God is creating a song of love within him. And therefore, he knows God is here. Now, because God is here, we can say to God, God, I want you to take a very good look at me. That's how the psalm begins. The translation in the seats, I don't think quite gets this, and this is why I changed it. It starts off by saying at the beginning, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. If God knows us, he knows everything that there is to know about me. And the psalmist goes on about that as he talks about, you know, when I stand up, you know about it. When I sit down, you know about it. When I'm about to say something, you know what it is before I even say it. So we come to God today, and we know that he sees the good stuff that's within us, and he's pleased with it. And we know also that he sees the bad stuff. He sees perhaps the stuff, well, he sees the stuff that perhaps we would want to hide. So the psalm starts off by saying, you have searched me and you know me. And as the psalm gets towards the end, he invites God to say, Lord, search me and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. See if there's anything in me that is offensive and lead me in the everlasting way. So what I mean by saying intimacy with God is that we are brave enough to come to God and to say to God, God, please take that good look at me. And perhaps like the psalmist, we have to say, Lord, take a look at my anxious thoughts. When we're anxious, when we are disturbed, we are usually pretty close to doing something that's wrong. And usually in the stuff that we are thinking, there is a mix of some good stuff, perhaps some righteous anger, and some anger that really is quite ungodly. So we come to God and we say, God, please, just take this deep, take this long look at me and tell me, Lord, please, tell me what you think. Now, last week, I was encouraging you to have a look at Psalm 103. I hope you've been able to have a look at that through this week, because it's really important that we get the message of Psalm 103 before we dive in to Psalm 139. Psalm 103, last week, I described it as a long bath in God's love. And I asked you, as you were looking at Psalm 3, over the week to major on certain verses within that psalm. Psalm 103 tells us that God crowns us with love and compassion. Psalm 103 tells us that the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. Psalm 103 tells us that as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the love of God for those who fear him. Psalm 103 tells us that God's love is with us from everlasting to everlasting. So what I was encouraging you to do last week was to sit down and relax and enjoy the incredible love of God and let that love of God soak into us so we know it, so that we know that when we come to our Father in heaven, we meet the one who loves us more deeply than we could ever know. What I'm asking you to do today for Psalm 139 is risky business. The thing that we need to know as we come to Psalm 139 is that God really loves us. It's absolutely key to everything. If we doubt that, we will not be able to do what Psalm 139 is encouraging us to do. We'll stick. So today, let's continue to seek to believe in the amazing love of God that's beyond anything that we can fully understand. And let's take a few exercises before God today and during this week that will say to God, God, I want to sit before you, I want to stand before you, I want to kneel before you, however you want to do it, but Lord, I want to be before you and I want you to tell me what you really think. Now, I know it's dangerous, because if your picture of God is a judgmental God who wants to put everybody in hell at a drop of a hat, you won't be able to do this. But if your picture of God is of somebody who loves you more than anybody has ever loved you, who loves you beyond your wildest dreams, then we can say to God, God, yeah, I'm prepared to take this risk. Search me, God. Test me. See if there is anything that is offensive within me. Lord, I can't hide from you anyway. I can't vanish from you. You know, things in my life that I might be hiding from other people, I can't hide from you. But Lord, here it is. I'm open to you. For the sake of a really intimate relationship with you, I'll tell you the truth about myself today. I was reading a book this week by somebody, and it was suggesting that when we're angry or upset, it's a really good thing first, before we do anything, to write down what it is we're thinking and feeling. And the writer of this book was saying, that's a good thing because probably what you want to write down at this stage, you probably shouldn't say to anybody else. I suggest that as Christians, we can do that and even better. Because we can come to God and we can offer them to him. And do you know what? He won't be offended and he won't be shocked by what is going on inside our brains. So you come to the Lord and you say, well, I'm really angry about this. Oh, I'm anxious about this. And God says, do you know what? I'm not surprised by that. God says to us, I know already what's on your heart, but I want to hear it from you. And I want to talk to you about it. So in this week where we're talking about intimacy with God, I guess I'm calling you to a level of honesty with God to tell him the truth that he already knows. Let's see what else Psalm 139 tells us. I'm deliberately, as I speak, trying to focus on the verses towards the end of the psalm, partly because they're the ones that often get cut out when people look at this psalm, but partly because I actually think that the whole point of this psalm, is there to encourage us in this honesty with God. Well, what else does the psalm tell us about God? It tells us that no matter where we go, God is going to be there with us. This is good news. This is what we need to hear. even if where we have got to is because of something that we've done wrong. Even if we've made really bad decisions and blown it, and we might feel guilty before God, here is the promise from Psalm 139, God is still with you. He's still loving you. He's still holding you. You have not pushed God to the point where he has turned his back on you so that he doesn't want to see you anymore. He's still watching. He's still loving. He's still caring. Doesn't matter what I do. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. So no matter where we are today, no matter what sort of state we are in, God says to us, here is my hand. Please come and take this. I want to lead you. I want to show you the right way. He does not call us close to himself so that he can punish us. He calls us close so that he can lead us. Perfect love, the New Testament tells us, drives out all fear. And when we know God, we come to him believing that he utterly wants the best for us and he will lead us forward from the point that we are in just now. What else does Psalm 139 tells us? It talks about the way that God made us in our mother's womb. And there's this wonderful statement. It says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Now, as I was thinking about this verse this week, it strikes me that's often been sort of used. I mean, maybe you haven't heard it this way, but I've often heard it used to like talk about a physical body. Isn't the human body amazing? You know, how our heart work, how our lungs work, how our brains work, how cells divide, how everything's in this wonderful balance within our body. Look at the skeleton, isn't it incredible? And that is true. In that sense, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. But there's much, much more to it than that. You. And when I say you, I mean you individually are fearfully and wonderfully made by God. Here's what the Word of God says about you today. God made you wonderful. God made you amazing. God made you as that individual person you are. There is nobody quite like me anywhere else in the whole world. There is no one exactly like you anywhere in the world. We have each been made into unique people formed by God. God intimately there in our mother's womb, forming us, shaping out, working out what his plans for us were. Now that can get you into all sorts of theological debates. I'm not going there this morning. What I want to say this morning is that this knowledge of you, this love for you that God had for you in your mother's womb was his way of loving you from the very, very beginning. Perhaps for some of us, this line about being fearfully and wonderfully made is actually the line that you need to hear from this psalm. You are an individual. God knows what he is doing with you. What else does the psalm say? It says that God's thoughts are better than ours. God's thoughts are precious. The reason that the psalmist wants to offer his thoughts to God is because God thinks better than he does. So as we are thinking about all the stuff that we are thinking about, what I want to encourage you to do this week is to offer that thought to God, knowing that God thinks about it better than you do, and asking God to help you to understand his thoughts. Okay, and now for those difficult verses at the end from verse 19. When you read verses 1 to 18, if you don't know what is coming, verse 19 is a bit of a shock. We wouldn't see coming that the person who writes this is somebody who's anxious, who is somebody who is upset, somebody who's worried, somebody who wants to get revenge on a whole load of people. But somebody who was like that wrote this wonderful psalm. And having established that God really loved him, having established that God really knows him, having established that God is going to lead him and guide him, having established that he is a wonderful, unique person who God has made, the psalmist says, right, God, I'm going to tell this to you exactly how it is, and I want you to sort it out for me. I don't know what's on your thoughts this morning. I don't know what's on your mind. What I do know is that God cares about it. What I do know is that God wants you to offer it to him. And this word intimacy means that we come to God and we say, okay, God, I want to know what you've got to say. I put in the notes here, don't worry about being polite. I think being polite to God can cause us huge problems sometimes, because being polite can make us say what we think we should say rather than telling God the truth about ourselves. It's okay. God can handle the truth. And as we work through Psalm 139 this week, be ready that God might have something to say to you. Now, can I say, he might not. You know, when we come to God and say, well, God, is there anything offensive in me? God might actually say, actually, not very much. I'm quite happy with how you're going at the moment. But he might have something to say. And as we come to him without fear, we are ready to hear what it is. So I want us to try some of the things that are on the second page of our notes today. Again, as I've been encouraging you to use them on your own, you know, don't think of these as a huge chore to go through. It's better just to spend a few minutes every day working through them than, you know, think I've got to spend half an hour or an hour every day. Just do what's realistic for you. But before we look at the psalm again now, what are the things that are on your mind as you come to this psalm today? What's the things that are churning over? What are the things you're worried or anxious about or maybe even excited about today? Just note what they are, your concerns. I'm not asking you to do anything with them just now, but just note what they are, because as we go through Psalm 139, they're going to be important. And God knows those thoughts. So let's read together. It's on the sheet, verses 1 to 6. So let's read them together. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Now, as I suggest in the notes, just note your reaction to those verses. And just tell God what your reaction to them is today. And I'll read them to you again as you're doing that. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Let's be still for a few moments. I'm going to read verses 7 to 12, and the question I ask in the notes, which you can think about during this week, do you feel able, like the psalmist, to thank God that he will hold your hand wherever you go? If you feel able to thank him for that, then thank him. If you don't, ask him to help you. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. And we read verses 13-16, and the question I'm asking is, can you thank God now that he made you wonderful and unique? If you're able to do that, please do it. Otherwise, just be still. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And verses 17 to 18, when you're doing this on your own, I really would like you to take these verses very, very slowly, because I think they really will help us. How precious to me are your thoughts, God? How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Let's read that again. How precious to me are your thoughts, God? How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And verses 19 to 23, this is where the psalmist really lets us know what's on his mind. And if you're like me, you won't find his thoughts attractive. But they encourage us to offer our thoughts to God. Now, before we started the exercise, I asked you to think about what your things are that are on your mind at the moment. Try and follow the example of the psalmist and offer the real thoughts on your mind to God today. The psalmist writes, if only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God. Know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. So take a few moments to offer to God your anxious thoughts today. Just say them exactly as they are. And then ask him to search you and to know you. And as the psalmist responds to this feeling of being threatened, challenged, provoked, offer your thoughts to God. Now let's read together that one line from verse 24 that's on the notes. We'll say it a couple of times together. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let's say that again. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting.